Thank you, Brother Dan. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to greet each and every one of you here this morning. I apologize for being a little tardy, but I don't know how it all happened, but time just got away from me. When I considered the thoughts that I might bring to you this morning, my original thoughts was, well, you know, we just passed into a new year, a new decade, and what is our responsibility now? What should we be doing to make ourselves ready for God? And as I thought upon these things, my mind was turned to Daniel. You know, Christ, when he was here upon this continent, told the people to search the prophecies of Isaiah. I said Isaiah. And that's where my thoughts went. And that changed my whole thought for a little bit, just to somewhat at least. And so I would like to read the last two chapters. And I hope you will bear with me as I read. I'll probably skip a little bit here and there. But the last two chapters of Isaiah. I'm going to start with the fourth verse of chapter 64. And by the way, this was written in 698 B.C., long time before Christ's time. But it starts in verse 4, it says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither by the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Thou seest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art worthy. We have sinned in those continuances, and we shall be saved. We are as an unclean thing. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, has taken us away. And so it is that mankind's, even though our best efforts sometimes are as the house of Israel was, of filthy rags. We know that in time of Christ, they thought they was pretty righteous because they kept the law of Moses. They sacrificed, and yet Christ tried to teach them something better. But they refused, most of them, to listen. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself and take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We art the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the works of thy hand. Be not wroth, O very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is desolation. Our beautiful houses, for our fathers praise thee, are burned up with fire, and our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? I have sought, going into the 65th verse chapter, I'm sought of them that asked not of me for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day unto the rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually for my face, and sacrificed in gardens, and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remaineth among the graves in the lodge of the mountains, which eat swine's flesh, and both abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom. Now I want to drop down to the 17th verse of that 65th chapter. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and former things shall not be remembered. The former things shall not be remembered, nor become to my mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I have created Jerusalem and rejoiceth in her people, rejoicing in her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and the joy of my people, and the voice of the weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence infant of days, nor old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For a child shall die in 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. You know, this is talking about the 1,000 years that's spoken of in Revelations. And I really didn't put it in this place in history, but there it is. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof, of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. And they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their blessing is with them. It shall come to pass that before they shall call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now I want to drop down to about the 5th verse of 66. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at the word. Your brethren had hated you, they cast you out for my name's sake. Said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to you joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice from the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Behold, she travailed and brought forth. Before her pain, she was delivered of a child. And that's speaking of the time that Christ came to them. They was given a child before they really became prosperous. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to be bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the God? Rejoice ye in Jerusalem, and be glad for her, with her. All ye that love her, rejoice with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that ye may milk out the and be diligent with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, for you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And then when ye shall see your heart, when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render anger with fury and rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by this sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in a garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination of the mouse, and the abominations and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and will send thee that escape of them into the nations, Tarshish, Pol, Lud, and draw the bow of the Tubal and Javan to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory unto the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of the Lord and the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. And as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass, the men that have transgressed against thee, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring of all flesh. And that word abhorring means contemptible. And it said that neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be a contemptible to all flesh. This points out to us pretty much the restoring of the house of Israel to the pleasant people that God has called him to be. We look forward to that time. But where does that put us? You know, God gave us this land. He brought our forefathers here from many nations of the earth. And we were established here in peace and in righteousness. But what have we done with that? I think we all know and remember the promise that God made upon this land, that it would always be a land of those who serve the God of heaven and the God of this land, which was Jesus Christ. And we know by reading in the Book of Mormon that God has given us that he had brought other people here before us. He brought the people of Jared here with the same promise. As long as they served God, they would prosper. But they failed. They lived peaceable. They developed a great land. But they finally became war and destroyed each other. And only one man survived. But it's recorded that God wiped them off so he could bring another people here, the house of Israel, Nephi and Lehi and his family. And they had the same promise, and they knew that. They didn't know there'd been people here before, but they knew that they had the promise that as long as they served God, they'd be able to live here. But even from the very beginning, their family was divided and suffered great loss. But Nephi sought with all his strength to get them to repent. And yet his brothers, Laman and Lemuel, and their group kept tormenting them and fighting and abusing them. And Christ came to them after he was in Jerusalem, after his resurrection. We know the story, don't we? He came to them and he taught them the same things he taught the house, the Judas in the house of in Jerusalem. And he found them a more righteous people even than they found in Jerusalem, because they all served him, possibly because of the great storm that happened at the time of Christ's crucifixion. We know that this land suffered greatly. And it destroyed all the unrighteous. And they mourned because of the loss of their brothers, their family. But Christ came to them and taught them. And they turned to him, everyone. Faith believing. And he set up his same gospel and the same church among them that he did in Jerusalem. But he could tell them more things, more plain things than he could even in Jerusalem. He told them to call the name of the church in his name, the Church of Christ, and to be obedient to him in all things. And they did. They prospered. And they grew for 400 years, approximately. And they by that time they had dwindled, and they destroyed all of Nephi's, well, I say all, but most all of Nephi's descendants. And Laman and Lemuel is what was found here. When our forefathers came, we called them Indians because we thought we'd gone to India. But God brought us here with the same promise, the very same promise that he promised unto to Jared and his people, the same promise he made to Brother Nephi and his father, Lehi. The same promise was made to us. But we really didn't know that. Did we? Did our forefathers know when they came here that they had to serve the god of this land or to be swept off? Perhaps they did to some extent because they came here because they wanted freedom of religion. They wanted to be able to worship their God as God had directed them to do. And they set out to accomplish that end. And they provided a country, a government, by the people and for the people under the name of God, and given to us an inheritance beyond anything we can imagine. A land of freedom, a land of hope. And yet, that same promise stands today that it always did. Those who dwell here must serve the God of this land and be swept off. But we are told also what's going to become of us, where our destiny leads us. You know, we pretty much abused the house of Israel. We took advantage of them because of their backsliding ways. But it's not going to always be that way. We have come here with the same promise that Lehi and Nephi came. That as long as we serve the God of this land, we will prosper. And when you ripen iniquity, we will be swept off, just like them, just like the people of Jared. But God gave us a great blessing. He restored his gospel. We know that the Church of Christ established here he came here about 30 AD. And established the church here, and they lasted till almost, about 200 or 300 years after Christ before they went into iniquity. And he brought our forefathers here to establish church again. And we know that it was established in 1830. And we have that as our inheritance. A great promise, more than we can even imagine. We know of the travail and the problems that existed in our early history, that how we were persecuted, and we also know how we divided. And I am, I guess, thankful is as good a word as I can think of right now, that we are here. I am thankful that we did not go to Utah. I'm thankful that we did not go to Pennsylvania or anywhere else. Our forefathers came back here in 1867, I believe it was, and purchased this land and settled here. We know the travail that we've had in days past and gone. And I can only thank God for the blessing he's given to each and every one of us that brought us here today, that we might stand as a light unto the world. But God has promised this land to the house of Israel. He told them when Lehi and Nephi came, he said, "This is your land for your inheritance." And that's where it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. whether we like it or not, I guess you could say we're going to be second fiddle. In 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter, verse 75. Nephi writing, "Behold now, my brethren, I would speak unto you. For Nephi would not suffer that you should suppose that you should be more righteous than the Gentiles shall be." For behold, except you shall keep the commandments of God, you shall be likewise be perished. Because of the words which have been spoken, ye shall not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. I think we're all aware, and probably there are some many things that we can only imagine. We can't really know what's going on in our society, our government, our secret combinations, all the evil that's going on. It's beyond my understanding, but I know it's there. But he's warning, Nephi here is warning his people that they need not to be proud to think that they're going to be more righteous than the Gentiles should be. For I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles shall repent and be are the covenant people of the Lord, as many of the Jews that will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenant with none, save it be with them that repent and believe on his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. I pray that as God looked upon us, he will not say, "Your righteousness is filthy rags." And yet we know we have our weaknesses. We know that we have our weaknesses. We have our disagreements. We have our troubles and our trials. We can go to 3 Nephi now. We know that our forefathers came here and we established a great kingdom, a great land, a land of freedom, a land of peace, a land of hope. But in 3 Nephi, ninth chapter, ninth and 98. It says here, "Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in the words in my words, who am Jesus Christ, whom the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power that shall bring him forth unto the Gentiles, and it shall be done, even as Moses said, they shall not be cut off from among my people who are the covenants of the Lord. And my people who are remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who if he go through both tread down and teareth in pieces." This is what lies before us. We don't know just when or how, nor what all is going to transpire before. But he says that at some time, "Yea, woe unto the Gentiles, except they repent, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off thy cities and off thy land, and thou shalt be throw down thy strongholds. And I'll cut off witchcrafts out of thy hands, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. And your graven images will also cut off, and thy standing images will I out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt have no more worship the works of thy hands. And he is pretty much here testifying to what we see. We are proud people. We claim to be the best, the most righteous, and the strongest people in all the world. And we could be. But that is not all that God requires of us, to be strong. He requires of us to be faithful and put those things away, to be humble, yes, and to take off the filthy rags of righteousness. And they shall come to pass that all lying, deceivings, and envyings, and strifes, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms shall be done away. All those things shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, at that day, whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, then will I cut off from among my people or the house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have never heard. But if they will repent, he's talking about us. If they will repent and harden not my words and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. Shall come unto the covenant and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance. He didn't say that he could be numbered among us, he said he won't be numbered among them. And also as many of the house of Israel shall come, and they shall build a city, which will be called the New Jerusalem. No, we're not going to build that city, New Jerusalem. We're going to assist the house of Israel. And I think that's going to be a problem for us. We think we hold the rules. We are the people of God. But we're going to have to be humbled. I can't tell you when this is all going to happen. I can't tell you just how it's going to come into place. But I know this, that it will, because it's written that way. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst of them, and they shall work. And then shall the work of the Father commence in that day, that when this gospel shall be preached among this people, verily I say unto you, thou art unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all dispersed of my people, yea, even all the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the works shall commence among all the dispersed of my people, with the Father to prepare a way whereby they may come unto me, that they may call upon the Father in my name. Yea, and then shall the war commence with the Father among all nations, in preparing a way whereby his people may be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. I think we're all well aware of what's happened to the land of Jerusalem. But the land that was given unto Abraham was a big piece of land, bigger than even now that they considered Jerusalem, or the Panland of Palestine. And they're going to inherit that land. Now they just got part of the city of Jerusalem and that area there. But they're going to be given the whole thing. How is that going to come about? I don't know. But I know it will. Because when this place, they're going to come forth, and it said that the river Euphrates is going to be dried up so they can come out of the north. They're going to build a highway so they can come back to the land of Jerusalem. Who are they and where are they? No, they don't know either. They don't know who they are, nor why they are. But in God's own hand, in his own will, in his own way, they were going to be taught. And his Spirit going to be with them and bring them back to the land of their inheritance. And it says at this time that the Gentiles, our generation or our descendants, are going to work with them and accomplish the great thing in establishing this land again. It doesn't say that Christ has arrived yet, but he will. He will return to Jerusalem. And when he does, the Mount of Olives is going to be rent in twain. My story this morning is that we need to be humbled and be willing to fulfill our responsibility, whatever it is. It says we're going to assist the house of Israel. Not dominate them, but assist them. God's going to raise up a righteous nation among the Gentiles. And he has promised us that if we repent and put away our sins, we will be numbered with them. And that's really my message this morning. We need to double our efforts to stand fast in the gospel and not be shaken. Not argumentative, but not be shaken. That we need to be truthful to God, not proud, but humble servants of God. That's our mission. Our mission right now is to get that gospel to the house of Israel. Yes, we hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We don't want to just sit on it. We want to be diligent in taking this gospel back to the house of Israel, that they might indeed be numbered among us. I don't think it's any secret to you that I kind of feel that we have already begun that task. I feel that some of the places that the gospel has gone, though I can't identify them, I think we're going to find out someday. Probably not me, but some of you will see those things happen when they will be identified and know that they are the house of Israel. But yet we're going to have upon this land not just freedom, but war. I just read to you there were the house of Israel going to go through this land like a lion amongst sheep and destroy our cities and take away our chariots and all these luxurious things that we think so much about. Take them away. And only those who survive and those who repent will be numbered, be left to number. We know too in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel that there's going to be another world war. We have heard in the news and through revelations that is coming. In my lifetime, I've heard that it comes out of the south. It comes out of the north. It's going to destroy both the east and the west ends of our great land. And yet the land in the middle is going to survive. These things we'll wait and see, just how it all works out. But we know we don't have a free gift. We've got to work for it. We've got to do God's will and put away the evils that are among us. To be a humble people, willing to serve and be obedient in all things. It's written there in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel that when they come here, they're going to first come into the land of Israel. And then they'll think to come here to take a spoil because we dwell in freedom. But God's going to take a hand. I don't know how many of you are aware of the vision of George Washington, but he was visited by a messenger, a heavenly messenger, that told him that they would succeed in the Revolutionary War, but that there'd be two more wars in this land, not just in the world, but in this land, there'd be two more wars. And he identified them. The first one was when we had war among ourselves, the Civil War. George Washington knew that was going to happen. We survived that one. And then he saw it again when almost the whole world was coming against us, Europe, Asia, and Africa. The same ones that's mentioned in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. They're going to come into the land of Jerusalem, and then they're going to think to come here to take a spoil. But in all this, God's going to take a hand. He's going to have mercy upon his people. He'll drive them out. And they'll only take out a sixth part of the army that they brought in. The rest of them will be buried in that land of Jerusalem and in this land as well. George Washington said in his vision that he was showing that we would be overcome, ready to surrender. That's hard to think of, isn't it? That we would be brought down to our knees and ready to say, I give up. Do what you need to do to give up. But God won't give up. He has promised. It said George Washington said he saw before we already surrendered that our army was joined by a legion of white spirits, and they drove the army out and left us free. We have that before us yet. Times are not going to be too easy. It's going to be rough, if you'd excuse my words. But we're not going to be left alone. We're in the hands of a great God who knows all things. And I hope my words today have not been discouraging to any of you. But I hope it is to you like it is to me to have hope, to strive with all our hearts to put away all things that offend God. They might think righteously and deal justly one with another. Not only one with another, but with all mankind, they might deal justly with them. That we might hold up the light of Jesus unto the world, though small it may be, that's our job, to hold up that light of the gospel unto the world and to give it back to the house of Israel, because this is their land and God has allowed us to be with them. I leave these thoughts with you this today, praying that God will bless you each and every one. We might all stand strong in the faith and not be soon wavered. You know, it's said that the church would be called the Church of Christ. And if it's called the Church of Christ, it would be my church. If it is built upon my gospel. No, there's other churches of Christ. But his church, Christ's church, will be built upon his gospel. And I am thankful. I praise God daily for the opportunity that I have had. I thank my forefathers for the effort that they have made to provide for us the liberties that we have today, the knowledge that we have today, the gift that we have today. It's so great. And we can only thank God for that gift. I leave these thoughts with you, praying that they will help you to hold fast and not be soon shaken from the faith. God be with you.